Again, Yishaki Sazri Vyalda Zohar. The first pasuk, of this parasha, well, the second pasuk, Isha ki sazria, Kerabosai, please, v'yol de zachar, v'tamash shivas yamim, shall be tmei for 7 days, v'hoya b'yom hashmini yimol b'sar orlosai. It is a little bit strange, is it not, that in the beginning of parashas, in this parasha, which deals with primarily with tsaras, 95% of parashas Tazria Mitzora deals with the laws of tsaras. And the beginning, it talks about the laws of Leida, korbanos. All right, we're dealing with korbanos. A woman gives birth with 33 days of Tahara, Zohar, Nekeva, 7, 33, 14, 66. Okay, that's in the first Aliyah. So that also doesn't really fit so much into the Sugya of Tsaras, Negoim. Okay, but it's there. And then, really, in the middle of nowhere, is, oh, by the way, don't forget, Rabbi Yisai, by the way, Yishaki says, Yoldazov, Toma Shavasimim, Uvayoim Ashmini. Yimol Besar Orlosa. Bris Mila, we know, is a loaded topic. In Chumash, Bereshis, there are 13 Brisois. There's so much elaboration about the Chashivos, the significance of Bris Mila, the covenant. It's 13 times in the Torah in Bereshis does it say the word Bris, connected with the word Mila. It's the Oisi Beni Uveinechem. In Parshas Bo, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, Nochamo, the Torah makes a big, big deal about Bris Mila. V'erech misbeseses v'damayich, the whole Geula, the Zuchus of the Dam Pesach, the Dam Mila. Mila is given a lot of attention in Chumash Bereshis and in Chumash Shemais in a very proper, dignified way, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Avram Avinu, this was the covenant, the ois in Chumash Shemos, when Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, we return back to our roots, we return back to Avram. There's a lot to be said about, there are two different critical moments in Judaism. There is the Ovois, and then there is Moshe. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Ovois, and then there is Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher. Our Rebbe, the Av HaNevi'im, who brought down the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So when Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes and he redeems us, and we have the Korban Pesach to commemorate the Exodus, don't forget. Don't forget to make that connection back to Bris Mila with Avram Avinu. Okay, so it's given a very proper setting. It's built up in a very dignified, proper way in these two Chumashim. But in Chumash Vayikra, it's almost, you can kill someone with faint praise. Is that the expression? Faint praise. You have a very... What's the first word? Damning? Damning with faint praise. You ruined the whole Bris Mila here. You just threw it in, the Derech Agav, like, just like that. Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zohar v'tama'o shivas yamim kimei Nidas Devoisa Titma. By the way, Uvayoy Mashmini Yimol Besar Losai. What did you do? You butchered Bris Mila. Bris Mila is Kodesh Kadoshim. Kodesh Kadoshim. Ki Oisi Beinu Veinechem Karben Pesach Verech Misbeseses B'domoich. And you just throw it in here, Derech Agav. What's going on over here? There's something very disturbing here. It's very disturbing. If you're not going to do it justice, don't do it. No, is it a legitimate question? Okay, so I want to get back to this question at the end. Before we get come back at the very end, I want to get back to this question. I think there's something to be said, but to get to that, I want to talk more halacha in the meantime, and that is the sugya of jaundice relating to Bris Mila. So let me read you the Gemara, where it all comes from, and every word of the Gemara is extremely precise, and there is major controversy, and basically at the end of the day, every moel has his custom. You hire a moel, whether it's your own children, your grandchildren, you get a moel. You don't realize you get a moel. The moel is going to come with his. I don't want to say the word mishagasim, but he's going to come with his minhagim, the way he does things. I once went to a bris mila. I couldn't believe this. Someone asked me to help him. Someone was not, so fluent in all the inyanim of bris mila, and he asked me. Yes, I make a bris mila. I don't know how to give out the key. I don't know what are the kibudim. He never, there's a sandi. Oh, sorry, the sandi. The moilim, the popular moilim, don't want to deal with this. I just come in the morning, I'll do the bris mila. Maybe I'll come the day before to look at the baby. Not likely I'll come afterwards, the next day, to see that the baby's okay. They're too busy, they're not interested. They come, you want me to do the bris mila? I'll come to the bris mila. You pay me. I'll come to the bris mila, I'll come maybe, whatever. And they're not interested in the kibbutz. The kibbutz is your problem. You take care of the kibbutz and whatever. So, whatever. So I went through with him, the sandik oymeid, the kvata, you go through the brachas, all the different brachas, and this and that. We get all the kibbutz. And I've never been to a bris mila, as far as I don't remember, where the moil was not the one to announce the kibbutz. The moil, okay, kvata. Kvata, right? Always. See, the kvata is kvata. The moil. The moil calls out. He goes kvata. And then usually the ones that I've seen, I would say, I can't tell you, I don't pay attention all the time, but Baruch Hashem, David in a place where they have a lot of bris milais. Is that the right word? Bris, and every single one of them, there are certain people, and they're the ones, you give them a list, of all the kibbutzim. They mechubid, so-and-so, the Zayder, Rabbi Beinu, so-and-so with sandikos, and mechubid, this one with kisei shalaliyo, and mechubid, this one with the brachos, kriyas Hashem. You always see the moel is the one who makes the announcements, and some of them are better than others, some of them, it's not their thing to make the, but that's part of the job. That's what they do. So I come there to the bris mila, all the kibbutzim, we worked it out, a whole who should get this, we went over all the things, and I have it all written up very nicely for the moil. And the moil, and this is a very famous moil, it seems a very popular moil, and he says to me, I don't do this, I do the mila. The announcements, I concentrate on the mila, the announcements, the kibbutzim, someone else should do. I was shocked, totally shocked. Okay, so I ended up calling out kvata, called that, and I messed up big time because I'm not used to this. Okay, all the announcements. Okay, it was fun. It was a small bris. No one was paying attention. Fine, whatever. Okay, it was whatever. So, why am I trying to tell you this? Every moel that you take for a bris meal will come to the ceremony with his tradition, with what he has been trained to do. I remember in Chaim Berlin, they have certain moilim that, the same moilim that they do all the time. I mean, one time came a moil in a white coat. and no kittel, a doctor's coat. And he with gloves. And he was seen before davening, washing the equipment in the lobby. And everyone was getting very nervous. We're not used to this. We're used to the same moyalim who are very quick. Right away, the second before the last amen of Kaddish Yosin is said, before the Yosin has a chance to say that last amen, he's ready. Kvata! Kvata! They're ready. And if you're not on time, he's going to cut whether the baby is there or not. The baby's not there, so you missed. He's going to cut when he wants. Everything's on schedule. Kvata, and he knows the players, it's always the right, he knows everyone's name, he knows the whole chevra, he knows this, and he has his, it's the whole system, it's like seamless. He's only done it 20 to 100 times, and there are a few of them. They do the same thing. Oh, we got a new guy today. He's not from unser chevra. He's wearing a doctor's coat with gloves, and they were looking at him, oh no, what's going on? He doesn't know the whole nusach, how they do things here. Baruch Hashem, the baby's doing very well. Every moel comes to the bris mila with their training. in every single dimension, every single, you know, you name it. And one of the big, big things is the baby is yellow. What do we do now? The baby is not, is yellow, is jaundice. There's the bilirubin count. Okay, bilirubin. So what is that? Am I saying it correctly? The bilirubin? The bilirubin count. So what does that mean basically? It means that a baby, newborn baby, blood cells, the blood cells very quickly decay and disappear, and they're replaced by new blood cells. And as an old blood cell disappears, it produces a certain waste, and every person is like this, and the job of the liver and partially of the gallbladder is to eliminate the residue of the old decaying blood cell. And some babies, their liver is not yet up to speed. You know, you got to give the kid some time to, you know, he just came into this world, and the liver is not yet functioning optimally to remove the waste of the old blood cells quick enough from the body. And when that, and when the residue is not is eliminated by the kidneys quickly enough, it leaves over a pigment, a yellowish complexion in the baby.
So it's indicative of the liver function.
Right, liver function. Right.
Which will eliminate infection and other things that can.
Correct. All right. So. All right, okay, all right, so you're already going a little further than that, the medical knowledge. Dr. Friedman over here is as well, right? So today we have it down to a science. We have it down to a science, and you know, we can't go do this on regular achas. We wouldn't spend time on this. Everyone knows it from your own children and grandchildren. And basically today, Baruch Hashem, we have modern medicine and science, and they have a test. They have test. And they give you a number. I know nothing about all these numbers. Obviously, the higher the number, the more it means that the kidneys are not functioning optimally. The higher the number, the more residual waste of the old blood cells are still found in the body, which means the liver function is not up to speed, and we got a problem. What is the number that is safe to do a bris milah? So every mile will give you a different number. I think on average, it's around 10, 11. Is that correct, Dr. Friedman? About 10, 11. If the bilirubin is below, in the range of 10, 11, it's okay, you can do the bris milah. If it's higher than 10, 11, you're going to get different opinions. Some mayalim will do the bris milah even up to, I don't know, 13, 14, they'll go even that high. And some will say, no, 13, 14, it's already too much. Who, first of all, you have to know, is the test accurate? Who did the test? Where did the test? Do the test again, you know, to determine there's a range of error, v'chul. Maybe today things are more and more accurate. They have new technology. Every mohel will give you his formula of when it is safe to do the bris milah. And they will have a number that has been given down to them by their Rebbe, their teacher, the one who taught them bris milah, even though there's no bilirubin number in Chazal. It's a more recent invention, but it is obviously scientifically related to the issues of, well, I'll read you the Gemara in one moment, and they're going to give you a different number. And let's say you're going to say, listen, my Pesach and my family, we did a bris milah, the baby was 14, and we did the bris milah, and it was fine. The Mollahs say, then get a different Mollah. I don't do, if the baby is over 12, I don't do it. I don't care what. I don't want to go tell me what you do. Now, there's another very important issue, and that is, now, every baby, it's almost normal for a baby to have a little bit of jaundice, but then there are times when the baby's liver is not functioning, not because it's natural, and there are different terms for this, I'm not familiar with medical terms, it's because it's indicative of a disease. There's something really wrong. There's a bigger problem. There's an infection, the baby's blood type is not the same blood type as the mother. That can be a very complicated thing. Is that correct? When the blood type of the mother and the blood type of the baby are not the same, that can really throw things off. That can be a very big problem. There's a whole list. You go online, you can look up all the different causes, and when it's more of a medical issue, then it's a big sakana. And then there's a new halacha that kicks in, and that is, you, not only do you have to wait for the bilirubin to come down in, within a range that is safe, you have to additionally wait 7 complete days. If a baby has a fever, forget about bilirubin, forget it. If a baby has a fever, let's say it's the 6th day, and the baby has a fever, a real fever. That's a sakonis nefasha, it's for a baby to have a fever. They probably take the baby to the emergency room, they put the baby, then the baby's probably still... Then, Baruch Hashem, it's now the fever goes down, the baby is normal, 100% normal, within range. You have to wait 7 days from the day, from the moment, 7 days, may ace la ace, from the moment that the fever breaks. That is the halacha. Now, you'll ask the question, what happens if the bilirubin is below range? And so, it's a sakana. No, there are different types of issues. There's an issue of when the baby is just not ready, for whatever the technical reason is, because the bilirubin, the liver is not functioning 100%, but that does not make the baby into a chola that should require 7 full days. So generally, the number does not reach a point where the doctor will suspect that there's something much more serious going on with this child. And it's just a natural baby is booting up. When you boot up your computer, it takes some time to boot up. The kidneys take some time to boot up. So as long as it's natural, then it's not called a chayla. You do not need to wait 7 days from when the baby gets in range. The bilirubin is within range. You can do the bris milah immediately as long as the numbers are correct. But if the bilirubin goes to a very high number, and again, this now is also a very big machloikis amongst all the moyalim and the poiskim, what is that number? I think some of them say 19. Okay, I don't know these numbers. To me, these numbers mean nothing. I'm not a doctor, I know nothing about this. I'm just throwing out numbers. But if a bilirubin comes back with a number in the range of 18, 19, so it seems that many poiskim hold there's something really wrong here. And this baby, you have to wait. You're now going to need, it's going to trigger the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You must wait 7 complete days. And now there's another machlekes apoiskim within this. 7 complete days from when? Do we say, once the baby has reached, let's say that the critical number is 19. The baby has received the 19, the result of the test is 19. So once it's already, you have to wait. We require the baby to come down to 10, to a range that's eligible for bris milah, and then start to wait for 7 days. Or do we say no? We have to wait for the baby to come lower than 19, and then we start the 7 days, even though 18 is too high for a bris milah. It's too high for a bris milah, but it's not too high for 7 days. In other words, once you reach that threshold of 19 and you now have to wait 7 days, question, when do we begin the count of the 7 days? Do we begin the count of the 7 days when it's lower to the below the threshold of waiting 7 days? Or once already we've reached the threshold of 19, we have to wait until the number comes down to 10 when it's eligible for a bris milah, and then we start to count the 7 days. So this also is a major machlokes apoiskim, and it's very likely the moel will tell you, listen, you want me to do the bris milah? We do it my way. It's my way or the highway. That's usually the way it goes. The moel comes with his set of rules. Some moelim will refuse to do a mitzitza bepeh, and some moelim will refuse to do anything other than a mitzitza bepeh. Okay, everyone has their I don't like to say mishigasim, but everyone has their thing. Okay, so this is the big topic. This is, and maybe it's a good thing. This is the way they did. I was very surprised. I told you this bris. The family I was dealing with, the very medically conscious. So I told them, I told them, there's a very big issue with mitzitza bepeh. Are you aware that, did you consult with, I thought for sure they would not want there to be mitzitza bepeh. And I said, did you talk to the moyel? The Mol is a Chassid Shemol. Says yes. Says, do you know? You know where they were making the bris milah is a place where they are makbe to do bedavka mitzitzah bepeh. So I right away thought it would be a big red flag, and I was shocked. No. We bedavka one mitzitzah bepeh. I know you never know with people. You never ever know. Always surprised. Yeah.
There are some people that if you wait 7 days, they'll wait till Sunday.
Why? Why until Sunday? Because you don't want to be 3 days within Shabbos. It's a very big chomer because for 3 days of Chil Shabbos.
The 7 days on a Monday.
Okay, that's another big topic. Okay, that's another controversial. Right? Really, that's another controversial topic. Another controversial topic. I thought you were going to say they want to wait until Sunday because in case there are medical issues, the hospitals are in operation on Monday. Because over the weekend, the hospitals, no one's there. They're out, you know. The hospitals basically shut down over the weekend. They just put in, you know, all the residents and the fellows. They don't do anything. All the big doctors are not available over the weekend. So I thought you were going to say they wait until Sunday because in case there's a problem, they want to be able to deal with good doctors. They don't want to go deal with a fellow who doesn't know what he's doing. Right, or a resident, something like that. Okay, I saw what you were going to say, but there are other halachic issues of Shabbos. Okay, obviously, dealing with Mila Bizman, there's always this pressure that to do the Mila on the eighth day. On the eighth day, it's Doicha Shabbos. Once it's not Mila Bizman, you know, you're lacking that Mila of Bayom HaShmini. Now, let me read to you now. There's a lot of chidushim which come out of this whole concept of the bilirubin and these issues. And the only way to really appreciate this is to read the actual words of the Gemara. So let me read you what it says here in the Gemara, the exact words. Okay, so here it says. The Gemara of the Makar is Mesech the Shabbos. Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. V'yaman Abaya. Omer li Eim. That's not even the Gemara I want to mention. Let me jump down. Here we go. Omar Rabbi Nosson, Netanya. Here's the Gemara. Middle of the Gemara discussing this issue of the Dam. There are two pieces of Gemara, two stories back to back. Each story, there's no repetition in the Gemara. Every word is precise, and there's a lot going on here which really needs to be understood and discussed and deciphered. The Tanya, Am Rabbi Nosson. We're dealing with Rabbi Nosson. This is his legacy, Rabbi Nosson. Okay, the famous Rabbi Nosson of the Gemara. Pamachas. It happened one time. If you want to start making diyukim, there's no end to this. Pamachas. This doesn't happen every single day. The reason why I'm saying that right now, Pamachas, is because at the end of this chapter that I'm reading from in Das Kanisa, from Rabbi Gibbs, he writes, he says over certain, he quotes from different Gedolei Yisrael who write that, he writes, in England, today, I don't know what he means today, I don't know if he's talking about the 21st century, the 20th century, the 19th century, he's quoting someone, in England, it almost never happens anymore that a bris is done on the eighth day. I don't know what he's talking about, okay? It seems there was a time in England, every single baby had outrageous jaundice. It's almost a shlebinimsa anymore. Yeah, it says in Torah Bayom HaShmini, not in our generation. In our generation, every single baby, they have to wait because the baby's never ready. And then he writes, it never happened. What it says in the Gemara, that we had a delay. Maybe once in my life, I remember there was a baby that they delayed the bris milah because the baby was green, was yellow, yorak, with the different. So it's interesting that throughout Jewish history, in different countries, in different time periods, there was a different expectation of how often this happens. I don't know what the statistics are today. You have to go, you know, call all of the Moilim together. I'm sure they have records. They must have records of how common is it that a baby is not ready for a bris milah on the eighth day because of its complexion, because of the bilirubin or anything like that. The reason why I'm saying that is because when the Gemara begins this sugya, the Gemara uses this term pam achas, which the Gemara seems to say, this is relevant for what we're going to discuss. Pam achas. This is not something which happens every single day. If this situation is happening every single day, then you're doing something wrong. Or you're making assumptions that are not correct. And what I mean to say is, I'm really jumping ahead, is that today, it can be very common where doctors will say, it's fine. You'll bring in the biggest doctors, the biggest experts, in these matters and these issues, who fully understand how the baby's liver is functioning and what the color means, and they'll say, it's okay, don't worry. You can do the bris milah, even though the bilirubin is at a level where the rabbis say don't do it. And even though the baby looks green or yellow, really a yellow, it's okay. I'm telling you, the bris milah has absolutely no effect on the healing of the baby. If the baby's going to die, he's not going to die from the bris milah. The bris milah is not going to add any trauma, or it's not going to contribute to what's going to happen to this baby, not even one iota.
Surgical operation on a little baby.
I'm just telling you, I'm making up things. I'm telling you, but he talks about it. Let's say you will have things today, people today, let's say you will have, and there are certain, obviously the baby is very, very sick, you're not going to touch him. But let's say, you know, there are certain, like, you know, numbers. There are certain numbers. The baby, you have a moyel that will not do a bris milah if the number is over 10. And the number is exactly 10. And the doctor says, come on, this kid is fine, you can do it. No. I'm not going to do it. And this moyel, the famous moyel, and he knocks out, let's say, 30% of his clientele. He delays the bris, because my misora is, if the bilirubin is 10, and I can see a tinge of yellowness in the baby's eyes, I can see it. No one else can see, but he can see it, and it's over 10. This is the misora I got from my rabbi, who got from his rabbi. I don't know how long this bilirubin goes back. I will not do the bris milah. And you have a mumcha, sheba mumcha, an expert doctor who deals with this every single day, and he says, the kid is fine. You can do the bris milah. The kid is totally fine. It's day 8. This is the cycle. This is good. The kid's ready to go. So my misara. And he knocks out 30% of his clientele because of the sakana. Okay, so you're asking very, very good. These are all part of these. So I just want to point out, make one point. It says here in the Gemara, Pam Achas. Rabbi Nosson starts off with the word Pam Achas.
Why can't that mean once?
Yeah.
Once upon a time.
Okay, so you could interpret the way you want to interpret. The fact that Gemara adds this word Pam Achas, it seems to indicate holding off a bris milah because of this situation is a very rare occurrence. Right? Now, you'll say, what do you mean? Sakon Snefashas. Chamida Sakanta Yosemei Surah. In England, we never do a bris milah anymore on day 8. It just never happens. Okay. Look at all of the variables. I don't know what the answer is, but there are a lot of variables. And the end of the day is Chamira Sakanta Yosemei Surah. But there are doctors out there that are experts. There are people out there that really know this stuff. This is what they do their whole life. And they've seen it all. And just add one more variable to the equation. I'm just trying to throw in one more variable to the equation. It says in the Gemara, Pamachas. So if you have a situation where most moyalim will do the bris milah, and this one moyal, his mesorah, he's been taught by his rebbe, you don't take any chances. And you don't do a bris milah if it's over 10. Even if the biggest world-renowned doctors, a team of doctors, tell you that it's perfectly fine to do. And by doing so, he knocks out 30% of bris milah's shlei bizman. Maybe we should take into consideration the fact that it says pamachas. And it's not pamachas anymore. It's 30%. Maybe not. Maybe you'll say nishtana hateva. Chamida sakanta yosem eisura. We live in a very dangerous world. We live post-COVID. We're super conscious over health issues. I don't know. I'm the last guy to tell you anything like this. I'm just trying lahag del Torah l'adir to point that over here. It's interesting. Is it not haloi davarhu that the Gemara introduces the story of jaundice with the word pam achas? It doesn't seem like this is something which is common occurrence every single day. And if it's happening every single day, you know, maybe we're not doing something right. Maybe we should look into this and sit down with some doctors and reanalyze what they know and what is the proper thing. Okay, again, maybe not. I'm just I just find, to me, after reading this chapter and reading the Gemara again, it just stood out.
Are there so many?
So maybe in the Chanami, so now we want to go ahead, subject to interpretation. What does Pamachas mean? Okay, I don't, it says Pamachas. Let's go find it.
A lot of doctors, in respect, know Gemara, and they said,
I don't know if that's always true. You can't generalize.
My discussions with whatever. Most Moalim are more knowledgeable than the doctors, the pediatricians, for sure. More knowledgeable on Bris Milah than most, a good portion of the urologists.
It's a very bold statement you're saying.
It's a bold statement that they call him in, the
urologist. Look, a pediatrician.
To do certain very difficult, delicate type of.
Because it's a surgery, that's a surgical skill.
They're urologists, they're surgical also.
Not necessarily.
They don't see all these Bris Milahs with all the different variations
okay.
that can happen.
You can't generalize. A pediatrician specialty. A pediatrician, every doctor is different. You can't, there are a lot of shemazels out there, we all know, okay? There are a lot of mishagoyim out there, and shemazels, and reitzchim, and reitzchim. Okay, I agree with you. You can't generalize. You really can't generalize. Every person, a pediatrician's specialty is not Mila. That's not what he does the whole day, a pediatrician. A urologist, that's a different madrega. Okay, but a urologist is more for adults. No, you don't know how many pediatric urologists are there already out there. It's you can't generalize. You can't generalize. Obviously, you have a moyalim that are world-renowned experts because that's what they do. And the average doctor doesn't have anything near what they do. You're right. But not necessarily. There are certain people out there who have devoted their life to this field, and they have special knowledge. I don't know. Okay, we can't drill. Let's go further. That's not our main topic. Let's go further. Tanya. Amar bin Asan. Pamachas one time. Halachti l'karche hayom. This occurred where? Some remote village out where in the middle of nowhere. Why did we have to say that? What about happening in town? Right here in New York City. Why do we have to go? He went out to some place he never heard of. In Lakewood, Florida. You ever hear of Lakewood, Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Lakewood, Florida. Omar Rabbi Yonos Pamachas Alachti L'Karcha Yamubasi Isha Achas Lefanai. A woman came to me. Shemala Ben Arishon Vames. She already circumcised her first child and the child died. Sheni Vames. She circumcised the second child and the child died. What did it die from? L'Char Bris Milah. Shlishi Heviyosai Lefanai. She brought me the third child. And she said to me, what do I do? She said, what? Re-isiv. So Rabbi Nosson says, I gave a look at the baby. Shehu Adoim. He was red. That's not jaundice. Jaundice is yellow. Red. There's no such thing as red. I don't think it's red. Whatever. You can dash it all you want. We'll see one hole for 1 second. I saw the baby was Adoim. Next. Amarti lo. I said to this woman, you're not going to do Mila Bizman on this baby. No way. Hamtini loy. Wait for the baby at sheyivla boy damoy. What does this mean exactly? That they have the is a scientific term. Do they know science? Not know science. He said to her these words. Whatever these words mean, you have a whole collection of people coming to comment on what these words mean. But he said to her, wait until the baby absorbs its blood. Sheyivla boy damoy. We're not here to discuss the medical term here. These are the words. The baby is red. He told her, wait until the blood is settled. Whatever this means, we're not going to that now. Himtinuloy, she waited. Achiniv la boy damoy, until it was fulfilled the condition that he demanded. Umolo oisoy, she circumcised the baby. A woman does bris milah, notice, says in the Gemara. V'choya, and the baby lived. V'hoyu karin oisoy nosan habavli al shmi, and they called the baby Nosan Habavli. You ever go to Bris Milah with the name of the baby after the moil? Never, right? Okay, they called the baby Nosna Bavli. The Gemara is not done yet. The Gemara is not over yet. Shuv, another story. Shuv, Pamachas. How can it be Pamachas? It's another story. It's going to be a second story. How can it be Pamachas? One time? Pamachas. Oh, it's not the same story. It's a different story that happened only one time. Shuv, there's another event. Pamachas. Halachti, I went where? I didn't go to the Krachayam. I went to Limedinas Kiputkaya. Where is that?
Russia
somewhere.
Where?
Carpathian Mountains.
It's next to
Carpathian.
Okay. It's, you just go down the Garden State Parkway and keep on going. Keep on going. And when you get to the end, make a left. Make a left and then make a right. And you'll find Kiputkaya. Okay. Ubasa Yishachas Lefanai. A woman came before me. Shemal ben Arishon v'meis, Zel b'maisa, Sheni v'meis, Shlishi heviyasil lefanai, Re'isiv shuhu yoroik. Ooh, green. Now, what is yoroik? Big. Oh, we have pages and pages analyzing the translation of the word yoroik. It means either yellow or green. Sometimes the Gemara is yoroik kakarti. Talks about an esroik. There's yoroik. Doesn't say yoroik. Yoroik kakarti, like leek, which seems to indicate that stam yoroik is yellow. If yoroik means green, then it says yoroik kakarti. Okay, so there's two different types of green. If it says yoroik stam, there's more of an indication, more of a leaning that it means yellow, which would be consistent with today's condition of jaundice, of liver. Of liver function, of a difficulty, an abnormality in the child's liver function. Let's go further. Shlishi, shu yoroik, hitzatzti boy, I gazed intensely at this child. Now, by the way, I want you to take note that when it came to the first story, and you can't go say, oh, different girsois, this is a Gemara here, a Gemara there, and this is a Yerushalmi, this is the same page of the Gemara, the same page. It's one girsay. You can't go start playing around with the girsays. When it came to the baby that was red, the Gemara says re'isiv. I just looked at him. I looked at him like a sefer Torah al habima. I tell you, you look at an esrog. You put out your arm, right? You don't look at the esrog like this. You put the esrog out like this, arm's length, and you give a look. You have a sefer Torah. You can put it under a microscope. You look at the Sefer Torah the way the average person looks at the Sefer Torah, Shal Gabi Habima. When the baby was red, it says Re'isiv. I looked at the baby from a distance. I saw the baby was red. I told the mother, wait. When the baby was yellow, he didn't look. It says the word Hitzatzibo. Hitzatzibo has a connotation, an intensity, a thorough medical examination. Hitzatzibo. I gazed intently with a microscope. I don't know what, whatever. It means something different.
Maybe
than. Okay, so you want a giving interpretation. Okay, very good. Whatever the definition is, we're just making mostly oros here. Hitzatzti boy. When it comes to yoroik, you don't just give a look. And the proof is, you can't go say it's lav dafka, because on the same page of the Gemara, when the baby was red, it says re'isiv. And here it says hitzatzti. This is very important from about what we're about to discuss in a few moments. I'm trying to bring out these points, to bring out these ideas, because everything comes from this Gemara, and there are a lot of different issues that are relevant bizman hazen. There are different minhagim, but different moyalim, and there are different issues we have to discuss. V'loy re'isi boy dam bris. That's a big, big word here. I did not see dam bris. What? I didn't see blood. Who says dam bris? What's that? What's the word dam bris?
Is it after bris?
The baby is your before the bris. It's the before the mila. It's day 8. I look at the baby. The baby is yellow. Yoroik. I don't know what yoroik is. Let's assume it's yellow. And the baby is yellow. Oh, we gotta let me check this out. Hitzatzti boy. What does that mean, hitzatzti boy? Does it mean he did a medical, he took a Billy Rubin? They had some medical technique in those days as well? Is that what it means?
Maybe he had a way of seeing, he was able to examine
the blood cells.
The macromila, and he saw that it was flush of blood veins. And
only in the, right, and what is it? Right. There's a lot to be discussed. There's a lot to be discussed here. Hitzasti l'char means to gaze with an intensity. And it doesn't say, I didn't see there was blood. I didn't see dam mila, dam bris. Okay, we're coming to something of here tomorrow. V'lo re'isi by dam bris. Amarti la, hamtini la, at sheyipol boy dama. It doesn't say here, nivla, a new term. Sheyipol. What does that mean? I don't know. It should fall away the blood. The babe, he didn't see dam, he didn't see dam, dam bris. Wait until the dam bris falls into place.
The
okay, so you're giving interpretation. You're giving interpretation, absolutely. I'm with you. She waited, and the baby lived. They called the baby Nosan Habavli Al Shemai. Okay. He goes on here, it's a beautiful chapter. The basic, now let me just run through the concepts I want to bring out in the time we have left. First of all, he talks over here a lot about the color yellow. What exactly is the color of Yoreik? And a lot of this is complemented by a sugya in a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi there talks about the lung of an animal. It compares the laws of a child that is not ready for bris mila to the trefos of a hilchos of an animal that's lung has a discoloration. Now, in the laws of hilchos trefos, you know, yishach an animal, most of the lachos that are relevant for trefos, an animal, if there is a puncture, if there is a hole in the lung, and the hole has been covered with some type of rear, a sircha. Well, that's when you talk about glad kosher, there are no sirchos, there are no adhesions, there's no chash of there being any holes in the lung. But there are other types of disqualifications that can render an animal a trefa, and that is if the lung doesn't have the right color. A lung must have just the right color. And if the lung is discolored, that's already a reisa, and you need a mumcha to paskin if the lung of the animal, if the animal is a trefa. And the general rules are, there are two discolorations, red and yellow. Okay, if we were in a schlachthaus and dealt with this all the time, we would be more familiar with these things. There's two discolorations, red and yellow. It's two reds. The natural color of the lung is like a pinkish color, like a light red. Let's say it's two red, something is not right. Or let's say there's a lack of blood, it's too yellowish. That's a problem. When it's too yellow, it's treif, mamish treif. If it's too red, it's usually okay. It's not normal, but there, I don't know the parameters, the threshold of it being too red are much, to become a treif are much, much higher relative to it being yellow. Once you get a tinge of yellow in a lung, finished. If the lung is too red, it's okay, unless it's way too red.
Is that a hope?
I don't know what it is. I really don't know. I don't know. Okay, whatever it is, you gotta go talk to a doctor. So there's a major, major topic of discussion about the color, and that's the major thrust of this article, discussing the color. When it says Yoroik, the Gemara presents two colors. Two different situations. One story when there was the baby has a reddish complexion, and the other story where the baby has a yellowish complexion. And there is an analysis comparing this to the sugya of Areya in Hilchos Trefos, where we find the same colors. Can we really compare a child to the lung of an animal? My inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. What is one thing? The color of the lung has something to do with the kidneys of the animal? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Because this is a big topic. Now, coming back, now here's where we're going to come back to this issue. Now the Rambam writes about this, and then it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch, and everyone that records this halacha makes minor little changes in how they codify this piece of Gemara. Of course, we're skipping through half all the stages of all of the Rishonim and what the Achronim say about this. But I'll just read the Rambam, how the Rambam, after how he codifies this halacha, the Ayin B'loshen Rambam, Katan, Shenimsa, B'shmini Shiloh, notice the examination is done on this eighth day. Okay, join this today, when they do the test, you know, it's standing, we have it down to such a science, where there's an expectation on day 3 and 4 for the numbers to go up, and 5 to begin to, you know, to slow down, and then to come down on 6, 7, 8. There's a whole system to this today. It's like there's a natural progression of how it works. And the Rambam says, B'shmini, and then day 8, you do the examination, you look at the baby on day 8, Shenimsa B'shmini Shaloi, Yoroik B'yoyser. He is the word Yoyser, which is an important addition the Rambam uses. Yoroik, it's not what the case it says in the Gemara. In the Gemara, when this woman showed the baby to the woman, it says, Re'isiv Shuhu Yoroik. The Rambam added to the Gemara the word Yoroik B'Yoyser. Why did he do that? Ein molin oisoy ad sheyipol boy dam. The Yachzeru Marehu, and his complexion returns Kimari Haketanim Haberim. So he adds a new concept which the Gemara doesn't talk about, is that the woman just said, oh, she waited until she yipol boy domoy. The Rambam says, well, that's not enough. The baby has to look like all of its peers. Okay? It has to be just like everyone else. I don't care what they say, what the numbers are. This, it has to have the same mare, kimare haketanim habriim, like all other healthy children. V'chein. Then the Rambam quotes this first. The Rambam quotes these Gemaras out of order. V'chein im hoya odoim again biyoyser kimi shetsavoy oisai. Now, what does it mean? Someone took red paint and painted the baby. That's a little extreme thing to say, right? Ein molinos at sheyivla boy domo v'yachzru mareu kishor haketanim. Notice here he does not say the word other healthy children. Every word over here is explosive. Mivnei shezeh choyli hu, this an illness v'tzorch lehizor b'dvarim elu harbei. The Rambam concludes you have to be extremely diligent in these matters. Sheloi noitzar boy adayin dam. Now he puts this on both. He says something here which is a little bit disturbing. He says this statement which goes back on both stories. And he says, Sheloi noitzar bo adayin dam. Blood has not yet been formed. Now medically, what they're doing today, this blood, there's plenty of blood. Ganz fine, the blood is doing very good. The blood, the old blood, red blood cells are passing on. And they are disintegrating, and they're producing waste, and there are new blood cells that are forming. And the reason why the baby is yellow is because the kidneys are not functioning, they're not up to speed in removing the decay of the old red blood cells. It's not because there's no blood. The Rambam says something which scientifically appears to be challenging. Scientifically, sheloi noitzer bo adayin dam. That's not the reason why a baby today is yellow. The reason why a baby is yellow is there has plenty of blood. The blood is fine. It's because the kidneys are not able to cleanse the blood. The blood is there. It's just the cleansing process, the filtering process. What?
Did he know that scientifically?
The Rambam was the biggest doctor in his time. The Rambam was the biggest expert.
But is that not
time? That's a good question. That's all part of the question. Now, Shulchan Aruch, running out of time very quickly over here, Shulchan Aruch. Okay, we're going now to the next level, Shulchan Aruch. Katan Shu Yoroik, Shulchan Aruch, which 90% of the time quotes the Rambam word for word. Okay, isn't that correct? The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam almost word. The Shulchan Aruch leaves out the word Yoyser. The Shulchan Aruch goes back to the Gemara. Doesn't say the word Yoyser. Katan shu yoroik, simin shalei nafal boi domoi. It is a simin, and the Gemara goes back to the term of the Gemara. Shalei nafal boi, but notice no one here says the term shalei nafal boi dam beris. The Gemara says, not the blood, dam beris. The Rambam leave out the word dam beris, and the Shulchan Aruch leaves out the word dam beris. It almost sounds like we're talking about different stories here. There's a lot, we know you need to know the science. If we don't know the science, then we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what's going on over here. Ein mo the ein also acha yibol bodam of yachzor mareyu kimarei shor haketanim. He doesn't say shor haketanim haburiyim, like the Rambam, which the Shulchan Aruch usually quotes the Rambam word for word. V'cheidim hoyidim sa'adam simen shalom nivla bodam be'evarav. Ella, the blood was not nivla, and he's Shulchan Aruch something really bizarre. Ella bein or lebasar. The blood is in between the or and the basar. What does that mean? They weren't so foolish. They knew their science very, very well. They know there's no blood flowing in between the or and the basar. Obviously, this means something more. And he writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes some very beautiful words, which is not uncharacteristic of the Shulchan Aruch. Disakonois nefoshois doich esakol. She'efshar lo, lamul la'achar zman. You can always do the bris mila later, but if the kid dies, you're not going to be able to bring him back. V'efshar lachzir nefesh achas miyisrael la'olam. But if you do the bris mila too early and the baby dies, there's no way you're going to resurrect him, and it's a very great law. So therefore, he writes here, you should the sakonis nefoshes. And you gotta be very careful. Now, here is what I'm trying to bring out over here. There appears to be different minhagim by different mayalim when it comes to this medical condition. And I don't know. I'm just reading here. I don't know anything practical, but it appears there are two completely different issues which trying to extract from the Gemara, from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Rambam, and that is, well, really three issues. There is, medically, is the baby ready for this? Is the baby, if the baby is yellow, the baby doesn't have the correct complexion, then we have a health issue. And the health issue is doiche everything. It is doiche everything. Forget it, there's no bris. You're going to wait 7 days, whatever the bilirubin is, you're not going to do the bris. If the baby does not have the right complexion, the right color, and the results of the bilirubin are not where they should be, we have a health issue. If there is a health issue, there is nothing to talk about. Let's put that aside. Let's say there is no health issue. There's no health issue. The baby is good. The doctors, you have a committee of the biggest experts in the entire world that tell you that this green baby, Kermit the Frog, how did they ever do a bris mila on Kermit the Frog? How did they ever do a bris mila? Doesn't it get more green than that? Right? How do they do a bris mila? He's ready to go. But there's a naya din. There's a din of the mare of the child. There's a special din that when you do it, you know what it's like? It's like negoyim. Negoyim, there's yirakrak. Oy adamdam. There are two colors. If you have on your body a negatzoras, there's different colors. White is usually white. But then there are nige begodim. And in nige begodim, there's yirakrak oy adamdam. It is green or it is red. And even when it comes to nige adam, there is a nega lovon adamdomes. Okay, I don't remember all the halachas, but in the laws of Negoyim, there's white, there's red, and there's green. There are three colors. There's a nayadin. There are mayalim today that if the bilirubin is perfect, the child is better than anyone else, but the child looks green. He has a greenish complexion. But the child, the medical results, and the doctors explain to you, this is the reason why he's green. They'll tell you the reason why they got it down perfect. It doesn't matter. In the din bris mila, the child has to have the proper mare. It's a bizarre concept. Why should that? An ois bris kodesh. Who cares what the child looks like? Child's ugly, child's child's handsome, the child is tall or short, who cares? Not so posh it.
Psychological?
No. I don't know what it is. But this is you'll say, no, some will tell you, if the baby looks green, it must be all the doctors, they don't know what they're talking about. We have to go L'chumra. Just because the doctors of our generation, they know what's going on, if the baby looks green, it means the baby is sick. Not necessarily. The baby, there's a naya din in Bris Milah. The baby has to have the right tzura. It's a tremendous chiddush to say such a thing. That the tzura of the Vlad is not related to the health of the Vlad. Okay, many will say, if the baby is green, they're not doing a Bris Milah. Even though the bilirubin comes back perfect. The mother looks at the baby. I don't care what the bilirubin says. I'm not doing a Bris Milah. Why? The bilirubin is good. We test it 10 times. The baby is green. So what are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you because Chazal say, if the baby is green, it means the baby is sick. The baby is ill. It's suffering a medical condition. And it's sakonis nefashis. Chamira sakanta yoyse meisura. I don't care what the modern medical doctors, we go l'chumra, we have to be chayish, the baby is a choyle. Okay, some will say that to you.
Baby is yellow, the baby is sick.
That's part of the dilemma. That's all part. Or some, some will tell you, a nayadin, the baby is healthy as can be. The picture of health, but the baby is healthy. But we're not doing the Bris Milah. Because the Gemara says that if the baby is yellow, there's a nayadin in Bris Milah. The baby has to look the right way. A kala doesn't go to a chuppah wearing a green dress. Okay? A kala, even though, no, where does it come from, a white dress? That's so posh, that's a Jewish minig either. But a kala, there's certain things you don't do. You don't go down to Yechub wearing a hot pink dress. That's not the way it goes in Klal Yisrael. You don't do that. In Bris Milah, there's a tzura that the Torah wants. We have a mesorah. That when the baby is nichlas, the Klal Yisrael, we don't bring a baby that has a nega. Is a nega a sickness? We discussed this yesterday. Not necessarily. Just because a person has a nega, he has a white spot on his flesh. That means he's sick, he's ill, he has some disease? No, not necessarily. The Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking. You have a nega on your flesh. There's something wrong with you. Do teshuva. You're not sick, you're not ill, you don't need to take any medicine. There's a spiritual malady over here. There's a din, the baby has to have the right tzura. We don't want a baby that has a nega. By a baby, a nega is yirak rak or yadamdam. And then there's a third din. There's a din that this is of hatofas dambris. You could have a baby that is healthy as can be, has the right complexion, but when you do the Bris Milah, blood's not going to come out. There's no a chelik of the Brit, even though it doesn't say this in the Torah anywhere. All it says in the Torah is the removing of the orla. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah dam. Okay, is divrei agada mispaseses bidomoyich? It's divrei agada, but there's a din a mesora. There has to be dam. There are three dinim in Bris Milah. Health, that's the most important thing. And if the baby is unhealthy, forget it. Even if the baby is healthy, how can that be determined? Well, let's rely upon the experts. Why not? Why not rely upon the experts? But the baby just doesn't have the right mare. It's a problem. And then there's another din. The baby can have the right mare, and the baby can be healthy, but he tzatzti boy. I gazed intensely and I noticed that there is not enough circulation in this baby that when I do the hasoras ha'orla, there will be hatofas dambris.
Maybe you'll never change
them. No, so the assumption is, well, there's no emergency now. Wait, so you'll see what happens. So maybe not. You're right, maybe he never will change. But the Gemara says, if you there are three dinim. completely different dinim in Bris Mila, and a lot of that, every one of these pratim is subject to a major machlokes sapoiskim, and as it trickles down to modern times, you're going to have a very big disagreement among Moyalim, and a lot of these issues, they end up touching upon these three issues. You need health, you need a mare of a health of a normal mare of children that are healthy, and you need there to be dam. And when you have one without the other, you're getting into different, what's ma'akev, what's not ma'akev, when is it kedai to still do it bizman, not do it bizman. And here you have different minhagim, different traditions, and a lot of these things, they coalesce, and people are just a little bit, you know, confused. Where exactly do you draw the line? Now, to come back to our last issue, why does it say, uvayoyim hashmini yimol Besar or Losoi in Parshas Nigoim, as we started. What's it doing here? You're destroying Bris Mila with faint praise. Teretz says, if this concept is true, which it seems there's a lot of backup to this concept, you can't, don't trust me for nothing, you get the Sefer Das Kanisa, all the Makaris are over here, but if this Yisoid is true, that there's a concept in the Bris Mila of a Mare, of what the child is supposed to look like, it fits perfectly as the hakdama to tzaras. You know, it's turn the table on its heads. You start off with the laws of an isha, a woman gives birth. Oh, she's tamei for 7 days, and she's tar for 33 days, the cave of 1466, brings kurbanos. What is it doing there? What's it doing in Parashas Tazria? Put this sugya of Karbonos, I don't know, put it in Parashas Sav. Put it in Parashas Vayikra. Put it in Parashas Shmini. What's it doing over here in the laws of Tzaras? The whole parasha is about Tzaras. With the start of the second Ali. What's going on over here? So all right, it's here for whatever reason it's here. Then on top of that, you ask the next question. What is Bris Mila doing here? You're going two layers deep. What is Israel Ledis doing? And what is Mila? What? Mila? Just the opposite. The Hakdama to Tzaras is Mila. And because we want to introduce Mila, you got to tell me the kid was born. So Mamela, we threw in Isha Kiseleid and all the laws of the carbon. The ikar is we want to learn about tzaras. You know what tzaras is? You get a nega. A nega that's a se'es levona adam domes. A whitish red on your beged. There's a zirakrak or your damdam on your beard. A yellow here, a black here. The hakdama to tzaras. There's something wrong. The mara of the person is not optimal. You have a spot here, a spot here, a spot here, a spot on your garment. Something that the hakdama to learn about the tsura of the way it's supposed to look is a child. A child. Uvayoyim hashmini yimol besar or losai. When the child enters into Bris Mila, he has to look proper. Not too red, not too green. Goldilocks. Right in the middle. Once we're discussing the optimal tzura, so Mamela, you know, the kid was born, how did he get into this world? Isha Kiseleit. That's the hakdama to the sugya of tzaras, is to first present a human being in his total form with the proper mare who's nichnas la'ol habris. And now, what happens if there's a later in life, there's a spot here, a spot there? Oh, he's not the way he was when he was born. When he was born and when he came into the Bris Mila, he was, it's the benchmark. It's the baseline. The baseline is the way a person looked when he was born. When you were born, were there green spots? No. When you were born, you were clean. And now there's a deviation from the baseline. The ikar element of Parshas Tazria is the one pasuk, Uvayoyim hashmini yimol besar or losai. That's the baseline. And now, when you get a spot that's a little yellow, a little red, a little green, it's a deviation from the way this child looked on the Yom HaShemini. Once we talk about Yom HaShemini, Yimo B'Sar Lasa, well, how did he come? He fell out of the sky? Oh, Yishaki Seilet! She gave birth to him. Trying to turn the whole parish on its head. And by doing so, you have to appreciate a Naya Din in Bris Milah, which no one even heard about. It's not just about health. It's not just about Hatof as Dam Bris. It's about the Mare of the child. Because the child is too yellow, too red. The child's Menuga. It's a different type of Nega. This is the baseline. Baby's born Bris Milah. Later in life, you get a red spot. This is not what you had when you were a baby. It's off color from the purity of the child. We got a problem. Okay, Rabbi, so thank you for listening. Have a good day.